Hey there, welcome to the Lockdown Life, otherwise known as the League Life with Brooksy and Shanaz. My name is Shanaz. I'm here with Nathan Brooks. We're not in the same room because we're not allowed to be, but this is episode 2 for the year. 2 days in a row, how good's that? Nathan, how does this second day of lockdown, so to speak, find you?
Mate, it's good. Now that we've done a podcast, it's good to have another one straight away. It took us 18 months to do the last two podcasts before today, so good strike, right?
Yeah.
It's a bit like the coronavirus in terms of infection. It's just exponentially getting up there, man.
Well, you
could have another one tonight.
Making corona jokes, eh? Okay, so let's jump into NRL, which is very important in your life and my life and hopefully our listeners' lives. I have been working from home and doing a bunch of stuff. I did watch a certain program this morning, which we'll get into, but tell me the latest news. What's going on? What do you got for me?
So there was a few things today in terms of information coming from the NRL. The big ones, I guess, Shanaz, and we'll start on this one. So the NRL will cancel their season if play does not resume by September 1.
Okay.
So it'll be no more 2020. I think who was on top? Parramatta.
Yeah.
Tigers in ninth, as per usual.
Standard.
Will be the case if we're not in by September 1, if we've got no more games until September. If no games are played by September 1.
I love it. I love the fact that we'll know what's happening. That's good.
So I know this is a bit of a silly question, but would you give Parramatta the title having best for and against after two games?
That's a really silly question. Go away.
Because it's yes, right? Give Eels the premiership. They have been waiting since 86. It'd be the massive... It would come with the biggest asterisks ever.
It's a no, but, Brooksy. It's a no.
No? Okay, fair enough. Mate.
You're being you're being too lightheaded in this crazy time we're living in. Let's get serious. The answer's no.
No, of course not. But yeah, it was interesting because... you look at that, that's about 5 months of missed NRL.
Right.
And there was another bit of information today that I thought was interesting. When the clubs were and the NRL got together, it seems like the clubs have been assured that the governing body will give the clubs their monthly grant next month, which is $1.25 million per club,
right,
which equates to about $20 million for the monthly grant. So... there is also talk that the NRL has said that they've got about $150 million in the coffers. So it's about 7 months of non-footy that they've got there,
okay,
up their sleeve. So you can sort of see there, September 1, 5 months, about $100 million there. It still gives them a bit of money in the bank to play with for 2021 at least. There was some interesting things floated last night. I don't know if you saw, did you watch Controversy Corner and NRL 360?
Brooksy, I always support your work, my friend.
I know. I actually wasn't on Controversy Corner due to how the way we've been structured just to continue on with this coronavirus. But Vossi threw up an interesting situation of locking down Homebush and playing out there, quarantining players. Basically the Homebush bubble.
At what point?
Oh, no, this was just an idea floated. It could be at any point.
Yeah, okay.
You know, we're fluid. You know, everyone's fluid in this situation, Shanaz. So, you know, what'd you think of that?
I don't mind it. I mean, I didn't not enjoy watching the games on TV in front of no audience. Yeah. Like, I didn't think it didn't affect the football. And I think if they can do that safely, then I'm all for it. But I'm all about the safety of not only the players, but the staff and people around them. So if that can work, then absolutely.
It's intriguing. Like there could be, you know, even if we do get a bit of a season and like what the AFL have done and they've cut down their schedule to basically reflect 17 rounds so that each team plays each other once, we could do a similar thing, 15 rounds, everyone plays each other once.
That's all I want in this world, Brooksy, is that to happen every year.
Is that all you want?
Every year. Yep.
Do you think it's fair though that some teams play at home and some teams play away during a certain season?
You'd have to make that fair over the years. So the first year wouldn't be fair, but
I guess you just it's a 2 year schedule, right?
Sure.
You just do but at the moment we would play each other at Netstrata, the Dragons and the Sharks, but I guess when the Shark Park reopens, we can get there again.
Yeah.
Games at Shark Park. But yeah, it's interesting. I think once we work out what's happening in society and work out what's going on, I think then we can start looking at that stuff. Probably could have been something we looked at, but at the end of the day, like you see with what happened with the Warriors and seeing some of the players chat on Fox League Live this morning, like, you know, family's important to them, obviously. Of course. And it's so hard to take them away from their family for extended periods of time just so that we can get some football.
And let's segue into what you just mentioned, a new program on Fox League. It's called, what's it called? Fox League Live.
Fox League Live. Yeah. What do you think, Shats?
I'm surprised they didn't rip off our name again. Just kidding, Fox Joe. Live. Just kidding, Joe, and everyone else watching. Steve, I love you guys. Don't sack me. I really liked it. I saw this morning's one on about an hour delay. Like, I recorded it and watched it about an hour later.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. I thought it was a strong opening with Maddie, Yvonne, and who was the third person? Yes, my friend Michael. Sorry, Michael.
Yeah.
Three really strong personalities, and they did some really great interviews via FaceTime, I think it was.
Yep.
With a whole bunch of people, including Todd Greenberg and Kevin
Walters. Dave Donaghy.
Dave Donaghy, who's a really impressive guy.
Yeah.
So it was good. And the second episode's on right now, which I'll catch up on. But
yep.
I just got out of a meeting myself with some Fox people, and I think that show will expand with some really good ideas. And
yep.
I think that anyone who's unsubscribing from their KO and their Fox Sports, I think you might want to hang around a bit, because I think that the channel, depending on what happens with the whole virus and the crisis, but I think I know for a fact the channel's not going to die away. There's going to be some excellent content on there. So that's a little plug. Obviously, we're very biased, but we're telling you genuinely we work for them and we think there's going to be some good stuff there. Well,
that's what, like, sorry to cut you off there, Shnat. I just wanted to add that, you know, this is an opportunity for not only us, but Channel 9 and whoever that works in the NRL sort of realm, like, to try new things and to get out there and do new things for the fans and with players and coaches remotely.
Yeah.
Like, this is something that, you know, America does really well. You see ESPN, Fox Sports,
yep.
Even just some of the, you know, Barstool and some of those, and The Ringer, they do some really good stuff. Through Skype, they do online shows, they review TV shows, they review games, seasons. Like, it's amazing what they do with using technology now, not just everyone being in the same studio. It's funny, you see some, and it's been funny, like, over the last few weeks at work, like, doing the Skype, the Microsoft Teams calls and stuff, and seeing a bit of where everyone lives.
Yeah.
Like, we're you can't obviously see it on the podcast, guys, but we're doing it over FaceTime. And I've got a poster of Kramer over my shoulder.
Yeah.
Schnaz has got some sort of Japanese massage room going on behind him there.
He's not lying either. That's exactly what I've got. That's exactly what I got.
What's it? You've been on a few calls with your workmates. You don't have to name names, but what's the funniest background that you've got in your online calls with your work colleagues, Shaz?
It would have to be Aaron Wallace in Batlow.
Oh, you named and shamed. So what did Big Wall have?
Oh, he's just, you know, he's a character. Out of all of us, he's the biggest character, and he's always up to something. And he's corona-free, by the way. He had to have the test, in all seriousness, but he's okay. Hopefully he's still in isolation for lots of different reasons. But
do you get a bumper sticker?
I think you just wear a sign.
I'm corona free.
You wear a sign around your neck, I think. It is interesting, you know, technology, and it's amazing how much you can do from home. Unfortunately, in my job, we can't do everything. We can do probably 65-70% of what we need to do, or what I need to do personally. I probably shouldn't speak for the whole department, but there is things I can do. So it's been cool. I've really enjoyed it. It's unfortunate circumstances. On your rundown that you sent me, you said something about Jaden Brayley ACL.
Yeah, so he did his knee during the win over the Tigers on Sunday. So
really,
it's not looking good for him. So he got 3 points, 3 Dally M points in that game. So he might have been in in line for the Dally M medal as well. Who knows? Yeah, so hand give the Eels the premiership. Give Jaden Brayley, ex-Sharkies hooker, the Dally M. But yeah,
that's sad.
It's an ACL, which will pretty much end his season. It was funny working on Sunday Ticket on the weekend. I had Hindy, Braith, and Coops, and they all talked about Brayley and what he did in round one and how good he was going to be for Ponga and Pierce and Adam O'Brien. And this was Coops was – he was so good to work with in terms of getting a bit of an idea about what Adam O'Brien does. And one of the things he identified – O'Brien, obviously a defensive-minded coach, but he really works on those combinations and the big combination of your nine, your seven, and your one. And obviously that was a massive thing down in Melbourne with Coops, Slater, and Smith. And – there was, for Knights fans, it was going to be an interesting season with Brayley, and you would have known. It was probably tough losing him, but obviously you had his younger brother there as well. One of them had to go at some stage, but it's a disappointing end to a season for Jaden. And mate, he looked good those first two games.
Yeah, I think there was a bit of a preconception that he wasn't much of an attacking player because he hadn't shown that much at Cronulla, but at Cronulla for a long time, his job was just to catch and pass. And over time, he incorporated a kicking game. He did run a bit more last year. I think, you know, some people just have this idea of how a player is and they can't ever change. But he's only young. He's a very smart fella. He's a great fella off the field. And he comes from a real footballing family and they take it real seriously. And I think he's a great purchase for them. I love Blake. I'm really happy with Blake. He's in the same boat, just probably more of an attacking weapon. And there's a third brother whose name I'm not sure of, but he's also a hooker. So it's an interesting situation.
The Brayleys and the Trbojevic's coming threes. But yeah, so supposedly, Schnaz, he was tackled in the second half by Billy Walters.
Right.
Played on with the injury.
Yeah.
Like, had a knee complaint, and he played pretty much with a partial tear during that second half.
It's a crazy story.
What's that?
And got man of the match,
yeah. Yeah, okay. Like, he looked that good. He set up that try for Mitch Barnett, the penalty try in the first half with a nice little grubber in behind the Tigers' defence. And, yeah, it's just disappointing for Knights fans, you know, whether we get back on again. Like, he won't be there. They've got Connor Watson, obviously, that can fill in. But I'm sure Adam O'Brien was keen to really develop that 1-7-9 combination. He's been touted as a future Knights captain. I think, it's going to be interesting to see how his career plays out. There's always been good feedback of him and his brother at the whenever they've come in at Fox Sports. They did an interview on League Life.
Oh yeah,
the girls said they were amazing bunch of young kids.
Yeah,
and I remember doing Blake's first game, and I got Jaden to interview Blake in the sheds afterwards. So we've always got that on file.
Yeah, cool.
Whenever you need it, but yeah. It's just a shame.
And, the positive out of that is that it's early in the season. The season's actually not going. By the time next year kicks around, he should be ready to go, you'd think. Brooksy, do you want to have a little bit of a break, which we don't usually do on this show, and we'll come back and talk about something else really, really soon, okay?
Are you the gentleman who was just talking to my kids out there by the lemonade stand?
I was by the lemonade stand talking to some youngsters.
Oh, because apparently some guy came over and started making fun of their lemonade. Yeah. Is that you, perchance?
Guilty.
What's wrong with you?
Well, I think they deserve an adult critique. If they're going to charge $1 and give you this much lemonade, I felt a little ripped off.
All right, welcome back, everyone. It's Brooksy taking over this part of the show. This is weird, Schnaz, doing an intro.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I've ever done one. But yeah, it's a nice change, I guess.
You're doing great. Just keep going.
We're both big Seinfeld fans.
The biggest.
And that, obviously, like I said, behind me, the Kramer poster. But one show that's sort of taken off since post-Seinfeld involved the co-developer of Seinfeld, Larry David, is Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is based around the life of Larry David. And unbelievably, has just finished its 10th season.
Yeah.
And its 100th episode aired last night. So 10 seasons of 10 episodes. He's very particular, Larry, with his season.
That's nice.
And yeah, what did you think of last night's episode, the finale?
So I watched it after you'd watched it and after we'd spoken, and I thought you talked it down a bit. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
You were a little bit like, oh yeah, it was good. I'm saying it was really good.
Without giving too much away, like for people that may want to watch that episode over the next couple of days, I think it tied everything that happened in earlier episodes up. and there was a few little storylines within the last episode which were great. A couple of things, what should we say, the sirens, like fire engines and ambulances using their sirens.
Now, for those who, I mean, everyone has seen Seinfeld, so I'm not going to explain that to you. But for those who haven't seen Curb, imagine the George Costanza character. And that is who, so Larry David is what George was based on. And I like to think of it as like an M-rated version of Seinfeld. So
that's exactly right.
There's a bit of swearing. There's
little moments.
There's some sexual stuff. There's some. It's just everyday things.
Well, there's definitely some sexual stuff in it, Maz.
It's everyday activities, but to the extreme. And Larry just finds himself in these situations. He puts himself in these situations, and that essentially is the show. Him and his family and his friend, or him and his wife and his friends and his manager. So I thought it was great. I thought last night was just another great episode from a really great season. I think it's top two or three seasons for me of the year, of the series. I really liked the last sort of three seasons a lot. The cameos last night were brilliant, and I won't say who they were.
No, we can say cameos.
Sean Penn one was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was great. Mila Kunis.
Miller.
I don't know.
Mila. Everyone write to us. I think it's Mila.
Jeez. Well, send in A or B. Mila or Miller. I don't know.
Ashton Kutcher or Kutcher?
No, it's Kutcher.
So Sean Penn, Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Mila.
Vince
or
Vaughn again. What did you think of Vince Vaughn cameo throughout the back end of the season?
I liked it a lot.
As he was the late Marty Funkhouse's cousin. Well, Marty's not dead in the show, but
in real life, unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, he was Freddie Funkhauser.
Yeah. Now which Funkhauser was the star of the episode last night, shall we say? What was he?
That was the nephew.
That's the nephew.
Yeah. Because Freddie's a cousin, isn't he?
I mean, I'll give you a line. Yeah. I always knew that big penis would get him into trouble.
How good was the fire that was like, what did you say?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, yeah, I heard you. I still don't know what you're talking about.
I thought that was a really good scene. A really good scene.
But, yeah, I thought Freddie was a really good cameo, Vince Vaughn. He bought Larry the sex doll.
Yep.
Which got him in a whole lot of trouble, which was possibly the best scene of the season.
You did love
Larry
that.
Tried to deflate the sex doll. and he remember he pulled up at the set of lights during that Insufficient Praise episode, which had Isla Fisher and Clive Owen in it, and he was like, have you used the doll yet? And Larry just looked at him and went, nah, and drove off. It was so good. But he was awesome. There was, remember in the first episode, there was Phil Rosenthal, the writer from Modern Family, and Larry didn't want to meet up with him for lunch, so he wore the Make America Great Again hat, which he used to his potential in social situations, like getting a clear table at the sushi bar and the guy, that bikey, blowing up at him and then realizing he had the mega cap on and went, oh, as you were, sir.
Perhaps the most important scene for me was the side sitter.
Oh, it's great.
Now, you've seen me at lunch. I'm a side sitter.
I love that episode, the fact that he was trying to placate a situation where he was going to get sued for sexual harassment, but he chose to side sit with the girl just to make sure Ted Danson knew he's a side sitter. And he kept touching her. What was her name? I can't remember her name. Her assistant, Alice.
Alice, who made a cameo last night.
And she was like, get your hand off me. Yeah. And she made an appearance last night.
You mentioned Ted Danson. He features heavily in this show, let alone in this season. So if you like Ted Danson, he's really good in this. And he plays himself. Not all of them play themselves, but he plays himself.
Yeah. The trip down to Cabo for Mickey's wedding.
Possibly the strongest episode, right?
I reckon that's when it started. Like, there was good scenes in the first few episodes. But it starts getting up there, like where he had to get the weight of everyone on the private plane. And then he had them, remember at the fair down in
amazing.
The plaza?
Amazing.
And he's got the guy who can guess your weight, and he's spinning him around and he's writing it down on the notepad.
Amazing.
So good.
I really thought it was a great season, Brooksy. Like, because, you know, a whole bunch of us and people around the world really look forward to this because he only does it every sort of year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's only short. It's 10 episodes. And you can never watch it in one sitting. It's one, you know, they air it, it streams one time, once a week on the Comedy Channel. And it's such a big deal for all of us. We come in like on Tuesday morning. Did you watch it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it didn't let me down. I'm super happy with it. I'm bummed that the coronavirus has taken over the world and I can't be at work with all you guys and talk about all these things, you know.
There was so many. I thought John Hamm was the best cameo of them all.
Yeah,
where he was there, just getting to know Larry. It was so good. He turns into Larry. He calls out. Remember, he calls out Richard Lewis for the appetizer allotment.
Yeah,
there's the three of them eating, and he's like, he just turns into Larry. Ends up having a coffee date with Cheryl, and she just realizes he's Larry.
Yeah.
Larry dipping his nose into Mocha Joe's coffee. It's like, because they weren't hot enough. The rivalry with Mocha Joe was amazing.
Yeah, so pretty much the whole season, the arc of it is Larry opens up his own cafe because he's got a feud with a guy called Mocha Joe, and he opens up next door to him.
The Spite Store.
And there's a lot of
Larry's.
A lot of spite in the show, and I thought I handled it really well last night in the finale. What
do you think of Larry's store with the hand sanitizer, the no defecating,
the heated
mugs?
The toilet stuff was just off the charts.
That's why you're riding the...
And that scene where he and... Was it him and the builder? Or who was it?
There's Vince Vaughn.
And they were sort of pretending to do it, I think.
Freddie.
In a position of going to the toilet, and it was just... Remarkable to see.
What do you think of Leon in the series?
Yeah, really good. Really good. Yeah. I think that they've timed his lines really well. Like last night, you wouldn't say he starred in it, but the stuff about the Johnson Club was amazing.
Yeah, he just came up with so many good things.
Yeah.
Like it was just unbelievable.
He's a brilliant actor, that fella. I haven't seen him in much else, but I'm sure he's...
JB Smooth, yeah.
I'm sure he does stuff, but he's brilliant in that character. Love him.
Yeah. And I've got to ask you about this one too, Schnaz.
Yep.
One of the best non-human cameos, I would have to say, was in the surprise party episode, the German Shepherd. Do you remember him?
I do, yeah.
When Larry was trying to calm him down. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I've never laughed so much. Like, he just, there was a line about how Larry was saying, I had to hire Hitler and just shut him down. And then what's his name? It was Boris, I think, the inventor, was like, why would you do that? And then Larry responds back going, why would it work?
Because Larry had suspected that that was already happening.
The dog absolutely goes after the air freshener in the car. Remember at the end of the episode, it was so funny, and there was just so many moments, so many good moments, and I think, you know, 10 seasons in and he's still killing it. Like, it's amazing. Like, I guess some people don't like that sort of humor, and that's fair enough, but someone who loves Seinfeld, Seinfeld to the next level with a bit of crassness, it's just perfect. It's so good.
If you like Seinfeld, I'm going to guarantee you will like the show. You might not love it, but you'll like it and you'll laugh. And you'll see a lot of Seinfeld-isms in the show, which I love, even 10 years on. Like in the last few episodes, he's done things that he's taken from Seinfeld, which he obviously wrote anyway. Yeah, I thought it was a great season, Brooksy. I'm saying, yeah, top two, top three out of the 10 for sure. For sure.
So the Ringer recently, like only a couple of days ago, I think it is written, done the top 100 episodes.
Yep.
What would be your, like off the top of your head,
definitely your favorite episode? I can't think of what it's called, but the John McEnroe one.
The Freak Book.
The Freak Book, yeah.
That is number one.
Is it really?
The Ringer, yeah.
And I've only seen it, I think, three times.
Yeah.
I saw it for the first time in a long time recently, and I could not believe how good it was.
Yeah, number one. Mine actually wasn't in the top five. It was sixth. And the Palestinian chicken one was my favorite. Like, it was so good.
Yeah.
Just the whole episode with the chicken and the... Susie doing the golf contest was so
Susie,
good.
Oh my God, I love Susie.
It was just amazing. But yeah, it great show. You don't know how long or if a season 11 will be around, but...
Well, it didn't sound like...
No.
There's room there to do it, so...
Yeah,
nothing definitely. Really happened. Anyway, we won't talk about that.
And what we're going through at the moment, surely there's an episode out there with social distancing. This is Larry's time.
It is, man.
This is Larry's time to shine.
It is.
And you saw, I forgot to mention, how good was the snapping of the selfie stick and the pushing over of the scooters when Larry and Leon were walking down the street?
That's opening scene, right? Opening scene of
the
first,
selfie stick one was, yeah, that's how it started. Yeah. It was brilliant.
He's a great commentator on the life that we're living, and I love him so much. I just... If I ever met him, which I probably whatever will, if I ever met him, I would just say thank you. Thank you for the content.
Thank you for everything.
Yeah, and then he'd say, go away. Brooksy, we got to wrap this up, my friend. But
no worries.
We'll come back really soon because, you know, that's what we're going to do, I think.
Sounds good, mate.
So thanks for listening, everyone. We're on the socials and just subscribe to us and you never know when an episode will pop up into your little collection. So... Brooksy, until next time, I will see you later.
Marcus, bye for now, Schnaz.